ladies and gentlemen. It's Hawk coming to you live. It's Thursday night, 3/5/2020. You know, it just keeps on a rolling. You know, I mean, I pray that we would be okay and, you know, that things would sort of tamper down or would kind of quiet down. But the weasel, the old wild weasel, is starting to really roll and rock and roll, ain't he? And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. That's hard to do, though, isn't it? For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Okay. You know, and let me skip over here. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. That's why I said the other night, in the midst of all of this, you know, try and get some of those more Bibles out to the people who are hungry for the word of the Lord. And I'm just going to give this right now one more time. This is the Noonamakers who are taking Bibles into Indochina, the old French Indochine. There are several countries there, but we don't identify which country is where they're going to go and all that on this particular trip. And they can't go directly, but they have a way of getting the Bibles in there. And they've done quite a few, and they're going into tribes in the mountains. And for those who have been over there and during the war, you know what we're talking about. The French call them Montagnards, the mountain people. You could give to the Gospel Furthering Fellowship, 221 Hamilton, Myerstown, Pennsylvania, 17067. Gospel Furthering Fellowship, 221 Hamilton, Myerstown, Pennsylvania, 17067. If you send a check or money order or something like that, put on their Bibles for Indochina. Bibles for Indochina, and it's under Dave and Debbie Noonamaker. N-U-N-E-M-A-K-E-R. Dave and Debbie Noonamaker. And they live in France. They're not allowed to fly into that area because of coronavirus is working in Vietnam. There's been a lot of Chinese come over the border, but in the midst of all of it, like Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So, they're still trying to get some additional Bibles into the hands of people that are particularly in the far deep tribes and the deep mountains and bush. So just to let you know about that. So let me just say this. If we go over and look at, this is what I really wanted to talk about tonight a little bit more, is Luke 21, which is a corresponding passage. You see what I'm saying? Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom is kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all of these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Or will it be brought before them for the sake of the corona, the king, the crown, the coronavirus, the king's virus. We've talked about this. Not the king, Lord Jesus, but the one who thinks he's king of the world, you see. Lucifer, the Lightbringer, who's working on all these top slots, and who people like the Rothschilds worship, Lucifer the Lightbringer. And their women wear the go-to-Mendez pendants with jewels and all that stuff. And they're in with the royal British family, where we have Prince Philip. One more time, I'm just going to let you know, so that you know where this all comes from. In the event I'm reincarnated, I would like to return as a deadly virus in order to contribute something to solve overpopulation, Prince Philip, reported by Deutsche Presse Agentur, August 1988. And here he was in 1986. I must confess that I'm tempted to ask for reincarnation as a particularly deadly virus. In his foreword, If I Were an Animal, United Kingdom, Robert and Clark, 1986. Or here he is in 1988 again. I don't claim to have any special interest in natural history, but as a boy, I was made aware of the annual fluctuations in the number of game animals and the need to adjust the cull to the size of the surplus population. And then David Rockefeller says here, we are on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crises, and the nations will accept the new world order. And here's George Herbert Walker Bush when he addressed the General Assembly of the United Nations, February 1, 1992. It is the sacred principles enshrined in the United Nations Charter to which the American people will henceforth pledge their allegiance. George Herbert Walker Bush. And I'm glad he's joined Lucy, all right? Now I'm going to tell you. This is the problem that we're starting to see, is because we had all of these tests that Pence and President Trump and Vice President Pence and all these people are trying to get out, and they want to get like, you know, a million tests out right away so people can test for this. So what is the problem there? Well, I mean, if you saw the this thing here, CDC blocked FDA official from the premises. FDA was sent to help the administration's coronavirus response, and he was a test specialist, was stopped at CDC's door and made to wait overnight. Now at the CDC, they've got a picture right here where you see the American flag, but it's got a gold braid hanging from the eagle on the top. And then it has gold fringe along the edge. Well, that is a maritime flag or a war flag. That is not Old Glory. That represents the war powers. That represents those who are going to use the emergency powers, and then their flag, the yellow with the blue, and then you have the caduceus of Hermes Trismegistus, okay? The caduceus, the double snake helix, you know, and all of that. And they've got all their regalia there, and then they have their flag right there. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So anyway, Atlanta, Georgia. In a sign of growing tension among the Trump administration health agencies, officials are expressing frustration that a top scientist was initially rebuffed when attempting to visit the CDC in Atlanta last month to help coordinate the government's stalled coronavirus testing. Two individuals to the Knowledge episode told Politico. Story a couple days ago. Timothy Stenzel, who is the director of the Food and Drug Administration's Office of In Vitro Diagnostics and Radiological Health, was made to wait overnight on the weekend of February 22nd as senior health department officials negotiated his access in a series of calls before the Centers for Disease Control granted him permission to be on campus. Stenzel's visit had been expected. But here's the deal. The FDA dispatched Stenzel to the CDC in an effort to expedite the development of lab tests for the novel coronavirus outbreak. Problems with the CDC-developed test delayed the Trump administration's plan to expand screening for weeks. In other words, President Trump wanted to expand the testing and screening at airports and of all the people coming in, and then anybody who popped up on the radar screen in the medical professions or anything that seemed to have this virus. Now, they were trying to expand the testing, but the FDA employee arrived at CDC Royal Ball Campus in Atlanta. And what he found once he got there and he was finally let in, you know, here's what we were back then. CDC had spent days reassuring Health and Human Services leaders that the lab tests were imminent. And even as delays prevented their delivery, the delays prevented many Americans who didn't fit the CDC's strict criteria from being tested for coronavirus. CDC initially limited testing to people who recently traveled to China or had close contact with a confirmed case and also were symptomatic. But the type ordinary types, the ones that didn't have symptoms, they didn't give a crap about them. Okay. Now what this guy found when he got there, that he found that the agency's lab tests were suffering major flaws that prevented the health department from executing its plan to expand testing across the nation, which Trump wanted to do. Contamination of the lab was one of the key items involved because the FDA guy did find contamination in the CDC lab. But here is a quote. Contamination is one possible explanation, but there are others. And I can't comment on what is an ongoing investigation, said Nancy Messonnier, director of the CDC's National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases, who told reporters on a Tuesday conference call. Now, that's the one whose brother is Rod Rosenstein, one of the coup plotters, allegedly, one of the coup plotters who was number two at DOJ, and then became head of DOJ when old Jeff Sessions recused himself like a nut. And you know what we got out of all of that crap? And then Rod Rosenstein even lied on those FISA court applications, signed them, knowing that they were not true and they were false. But instead of being arrested like you would be or anybody else would be, he gets to resign with the benefits and all the crap. Meanwhile, old Barr's getting ready to get to the bottom of it. Old Barr. And then we had, then we got Bull Durham. Bull Durham, he's tough. He's going to get to the bottom of it. They ain't doing Jack Dooley squat. They ain't doing BS bullshite, you know? Because what he's doing is stringing along closer to the election. Then he can say, well, I'm not going to bring it up during the election. And then if Trump wins again, maybe he brings it up then. But maybe they try to fix it for Joe, and you don't get Trump. Or maybe they want to spread coronavirus all over the United States more quickly so that there may not even be an election. And then, you see, they could then have to make Trump declare the state of emergency or martial law. And then they can say, you're a Nazi. You see what I'm saying? Or who knows? If I was Trump, I would have not gone to any of those places, any of the labs. Would not have gone to any of the labs. Personally. Because now even ABC is reporting on their screen and the crawl that it's 9 days on hard surfaces that the coronavirus will stay there. So you see, we knew that a month or two ago, and they were saying, oh, well, we don't know. That's bullshit. Fauci, the CDC, all of these people, and now they got this Birx, the ambassador woman who's somehow or another in there, and the head of the CDC, and then they got the head of the CMS, Seema Burima, Vermina, or whatever her name is, and then she's in charge of the Medicare, Medicaid people. She's in charge of all of that and the nursing homes. And the question is, this virus apparently is starting to really work on people, and the average age of the people that have died from it, or have gotten it, I guess, is almost like 60 years old. And now there's two strains, apparently. The L, which was 70% of people in China got, was much more aggressive and killed you quicker. But the other one still will kill you. You see what I'm saying? S strain. And then a new report out of Red China, out of either Wuhan or Beijing. Let's see if I can get that story up real quick. Got it right here. New report out of that is that it now, they're finding it affects the central nervous system. Well, you know, we could have told you that, couldn't we? You know why we could have told you? Because you remember back about 3 weeks ago when we saw those videos coming out of China where they had people like in a big warehouse or maybe on a train station, like on a big floor, a gymnasium floor, and there was hundreds of them there, and some of them had people caring for them. Others were just laying there. Do you remember that they were a lot of them? They were all twitching, and their legs and bodies were jerking and almost like in grand mal seizures. We also have seen, oh, here it is right here, Beijing Hospital confirms that COVID-19 attacks the central nervous system. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's a whole other deal, you see. Beijing Daikan Hospital, affiliated with Capital Medical University, said on March 4th that the first patient with novel corona complicated with encephalitis was discharged from the hospital on February 25th. Well, that's comforting. But he said he reminded that patients with conscious disturbances must consider the possibility that the virus may attack the central nervous system. At present, patients with the new type of coronavirus pneumonia can be combined with multiple organ damages, such as severe respiratory distress syndrome, myocardial damage, abnormal coagulation function, kidney damage, liver damage, etc. However, no central nervous system had been reported. But now it has been reported, you see. And it says that previous SARS and MERS, that severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus, the one that was in Hong Kong and Toronto and a few other places, and the MERS, the Middle East respiratory syndrome, which was in Texas. You remember, I believe it was Alex Jones' cousin or aunt or somebody that died of that, a relative of his, in a hospital, I believe, in Houston. And that those two diseases cause cases of central nervous system damage. So anyway, that is quite of an interesting thing, but you see, what we got was the video showing hundreds of people in what I would call almost like Grand Mal Caesars. So anyway, you see, could cause interference with the brain signals. And I'm thinking of a friend of mine right now to tell him about it, that could create bad signals from the brain to the heart or to the lungs or whatever through the nervous system to throw off your entire circulatory, your entire respiratory, and your entire kidney and waste elimination systems. You don't want to get this stuff, people. You do not want to get it. So don't consider it to be, oh, it's easy to get, not easy to get. It's, you know, and right now the numbers are not such, but you see, the numbers are not such, but the fact is that they haven't tested anybody. Now, Pence is going to 3M to try to get the test ginned up and do it all and get it going. Because they're still not out there. And they had this new cruise ship up of California, which the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, who, by the way, has declared a state of emergency for all of California. In a state of emergency, do you know what can happen? If they choose to make it happen, Orange County has it, San Francisco and that county have it. I see that San Jose, the hospital in San Jose, is putting up pop-up plague tents, okay, outside, in case there's a big spiral of cases quickly. So they must know when they start to test people and start to test the people who work in these hospitals and clinics and research facilities, that a large number of them probably have come in contact with it. Just like the woman who was close by to Travis Air Force Base. Oh, but Travis didn't have anything to do with it. All those people they brought in and they threw their masks up in the air after 10 days or whatever. Oh, well, I thought it was 14 days or maybe it's 24 days on these things. Or which strain did they have? Or, you see, are they still carrying this stuff, you see? So the fact is that when CDC's number two, Meissonier, says that she cannot comment on the other reasons besides lab contamination that are under an ongoing investigation, then my thoughts go to, and in my opinion, which everybody has the right to an opinion, I'm not reporting it as fact. I'm saying that there's a possibility that allegedly somebody wants to spread this dadgum virus around this country and bring about the blood kill, the big blood sacrifice for Lucifer, the Lightbringer. And in the course of all of that, to try to take power in a medical, military, banking, currency, governmental, industrial complex, you see. The medical is all in there with it. Ah, ladies and gentlemen, now, who's going to betray you? What did Jesus say in the red letters in Luke 21, verse 16? And ye shall be betrayed, both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. Now, if you don't understand that, pray to the Lord Jesus and ask him to explain that to you. Oh, I'm telling you what, ladies and gentlemen. I listened to a doctor from Baylor University, Dr. Hotez, this morning. He's a very good guy. He's also working on a on a vaccine down at Baylor. And he says that even the new WHO kill ratio or death rate from this stuff, and WHO says it's 3.4%, they were telling President Trump it was 0.5% to 1%, you see. But if you look at the numbers, the most current number I saw earlier today was 70 confirmed cases in Washington State with 10 dead. Now, what is that? 10 divided by 70. Well, my George, that is not 1 or 2%, 1% or 0 or 1/2 of 1%. It's not even 3.4%. You know what it is? It's 14.28% dead. Now, Dr. Hotez said this morning before I saw these numbers, he said that the real kill ratio, because of the population that it's most affecting, the real kill ratio is closer to 15%. And he's exactly right. Now, at 15%, you start to get some real interesting numbers, don't you? What was it that Dr. Gabriel Leung said would, how many people on the planet would get it? 60% of the world population. Dr. Lipschitz from Harvard, who was the hand public health chair holder, one of the big experts at Harvard, he said 40 to 70% of the world population would get it. All right? Now, there's other information I believe even came out today. Let's see what if I've got this one right after ready to queue up. And let's see. Here we go, right here. The worst is yet to come. Nomura now sees as many as 1.5 million COVID cases by June. Self-explanatory title of Nomura's latest analysis addressing the consequences from the coronavirus pandemic, which comes just 2 weeks after the Japanese bank issued its first preliminary assessment on the fallout from the global pandemic, which, as readers will recall, we found unduly optimistic. Well, comma, a lot has happened since then. As the report's title suggests, the outlook has deteriorated sharply. In the bank's new base case, it revises it further down its quarter one 2020 GDP growth forecast for China to be 0%. And for the world to be 0.9%. So that is an interesting thing. Nomura, which is Nomura Securities and Research, they are saying that 1.5 million cases probably by June. Well, okay, so let's take Leung. Well, let's take the 1.5 million, okay, 1.5. And if we had times the closer to 15%, wouldn't we? What will we have? Oh, well, that'd be very interesting, wouldn't it? We'd have 225,000, 15% of 1.5 million dead. You do the math. I may have got it wrong, but you do the math. You start playing with these things. I did it the other night for you, remember? I said if there was a 60% of the world population, about 7 billion, times 60% is approximately 4.2 billion people who would get the disease. And if you did 42%, which was the actual numbers coming out of China, as you recall, not the official number. Their official number is closer to the 15% over there out of the Wuhan. But the real numbers that they flashed one time and then they got rid of them real quick, the real numbers were closer to 42% kill ratio. So at 42% of 4.2 billion, you would have 1.7 billion with a B dead. Well, that's getting awfully biblical, ain't it? Now, what does Dr. Fauci say? He keeps trying to say the truth, but I tell you, the problem I have with him is that he's just really excited about this whole shooting match, okay? Because he's running the show, all right? And consequently, what's Fauci saying? Okay, here it is right here. Now, he says, Dr. Fauci, in a White House Task Force press conference, he was then talking to some people. He said, we'd like to highlight one comment that seems to attract a lot of attention this evening. Dr. Fauci's estimate that 15 to 20% of those infected with the virus will require hospitalization. 15 to 20% of the people who get coronavirus, the COVID-19, will need hospitalization. Think about the scale of that if the virus spreads. So if we have 1.5 million people worldwide times 20%, you see, how many hospital beds do you need? How many ventilators do you need? Have you ever done a query on a search engine saying total number of ventilators or respirators for hospitals in the United States? We know the number of hotel rooms. We know the number of hospital rooms in the U.S., not ones that are perfectly isolated in the ISO lab and where they are, you know, all set up to, you know, negative pressure, positive pressure, whatever the system is to keep the virus and the bugs from getting out of the room and into the air conditioning system or the water system that then spreads throughout the rest of the hospital and gives it to everybody. So what is it? 974,000 approximately hospital rooms in the United States. If you have 330 million people, let's go back to Leung's thing again. He's a very good doctor. He's the head of public health in Hong Kong. I believe he's British trained. So if you've got 60% of what? 330 million? Whoop. 330.6 equal. That's about 198 million people would get the disease. And then if 20%, according to Fauci, would need hospital room and all that that entails, meaning the ventilator system, the, you know, to do intubation and all that, the machines, all the fancy stuff, you would need 39.6 million hospital beds. Oh, now no wonder San Jose, California. Oh, do you know the way to San Jose? They're already putting up tents, specialized pop-up, you know, futuristic-like tents outside on the hospital grounds. And those of you who have followed all this stuff for years know that there has been practice over the years of all kind of military units who then go in and put up plague tents. They did it during SARS. They did it during Ebola. They've done it on a number of different occasions. West Nile, a whole lot of stuff. So what happens is, you overwhelm the medical facilities, you overwhelm the medical personnel, You overwhelm the drug companies, the companies that are making the masks, the companies making this, that, and the other, the Tyvek F suits, and pretty soon you got a rampant wild weasel disease that even if it's only 15% kill ratio, is killing off a whole lot of people. Now, what does that bring me to? What does it bring me to? Yes. It brings me to this. Do you remember D-E-A-G-E-L, Deagle.com, D-E-A-G-E-L.com, the prediction that they do for the intelligence community? And this is, I'm looking at the screen, United States of America, okay? And in the year 2013, they estimated 316 million people in the U.S. in 2013. They estimated the, let's see, I can't see that. Let's do GDP per capita of 52,838. And then their forecast for the year 2025. Some people may not know this. Others listen to the show. We've talked about this a lot. Steve's talked about it. A whole lot of people talked about this. And you could go and you could look at Deagle, D-E-A-G-E-L, D-E-A-G-E-L. .com prediction for U.S. population in 2025. Put that in a search engine. You'll pop up a whole bunch of different things to click on. Right now, I'm on steamit.com. Okay. And so their prediction for forecast of 2025, U.S. population is how much? 69 million people. Well, that's interesting. Gross domestic product per capita, $13,328, or about $921 billion GDP, and instead of $43 trillion or whatever it looks like here, it would be down to $921 billion. Now, somebody knows something because Deagle produces this data for the CIA, the DIA, the NSA, the EIOs, okay? So then somebody's got to know something. And then we go back and we read the old Viktor Suvorov Spetsnaz, you see, First World War. And it doesn't have to be the Russians doing this. It's just that it's a true statement. Terrorist acts carried out in the course of the overture require very few people, very few weapons, and little equipment, and in some cases, all that may be needed is one man who has a weapon, nothing more than a screwdriver, a box of matches, or a glass ampule. Some of the operations can have catastrophic consequences. For an example, an epidemic of an infectious disease at 7 of the most important naval bases in the West could have the effect of cutting in half the combined naval might of the Soviet Union or Russia's enemies. Now, all this is really nice. Well, Trump will just, he'll do martial law or something, and that'll be okay, and they'll, we might have some quarantines a little bit, but everything, they're going to feed you. It ain't going to go that way, regardless of who calls for it. Because that's not what it's about, you see. Here's the first thing that happens. January 11th, 2010. White House. establishment of the Council of Governors by the authority vested in me as President of the United States, Constitution, laws, and bylaws of the U.S. States of America, including Section 1822 of the National Defense Authorization Act of 2008, Public Law 110-181, and in order to strengthen further the partnership between federal government and state governments to protect our nation and its people and property, it's hereby ordered as follows. The Council of Governors. There is an established a Council of Governors or Council that shall consist of 10 state governors appointed by the president. Well, if there's only 10 governors for all the United States, then that means there's going to be one governor for each FEMA region. Now, we already know that NORTHCOM issued orders to all the U.S. military reserves, National Guards inside the United States to prepare for martial law and a pandemic in the U.S. The CDC issued orders to all the hospitals, clinics, and research offices and all the doctors in the United States, prepare for a pandemic. Fauci says this thing is going to overwhelm the medical profession. So here's the deal. This Council of Governors shall be and meet at the call of the Secretary of Defense or by the co-chairs of the Council to exchange views, information, or advice with the Secretary of Defense, the Secretary of Homeland Security, the Assistant to the President for Homeland Security and Counterterrorism, and the Assistant to the President for the Intergovernmental Affairs and Public Engagement, the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Homeland Defense and America's Security Affairs, the Commander of the United States Northern Command, NORTHCOM, the Chief National Guard Bureau, the Commandant of the Coast Guard, and other appropriate officials of the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Defense and appropriate officials of other executive departments or agencies, as may be designated by the Secretary of Defense or the Secretary of Homeland Security. Okay, and then all of these people, Secretary of Defense, reports to the President of the United States. This is what Obama did. January 11th, 2010. That is still in vogue or still in effect if it needs to be. Then Bush, W. Bush on 12 October 2008, in a presidential decision directive that he signed, and for those of you who remember back a number of years ago, there was an exercise called REX, R-E-X-84. And it was so highly guarded that special metal security doors were installed on the fifth floor of the FEMA building in Washington, D.C., securing the area in which the REX operational center was centered. The exercise required the following: suspension of the Constitution of the United States, turning control of the government over to FEMA, and appointment of military commanders to run state and local governments. And then see, Obama established the Council of Governors, and he did it in his executive order as well. He changed it slightly in that the Secretary of Defense, who's responsible directly to him, would be in charge of the military governments, you know, and the martial law, M-A-R-T-I-A-L, which means military law, Not as some of you say out there, Marshall, M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L, as in U.S. Marshall. No, this is Marshall, as in martial arts law, military law. But what Bush did and signed shortly thereafter, okay, in October 2008, domestic insurgency and the declaration of martial law. And then it goes into, and here's the deal, it goes into counterinsurgency and what that is. Now here's what counterinsurgency is, they say. A domestic insurgency is an organized movement aimed at the overthrow or aimed at discrediting of the legally constituted federal and state governments through use of subversion and armed conflict. It is protracted political-military struggle designed to weaken government control and legitimacy while increasing insurgent control, and the political power is the central issue in a domestic insurgency. Of course, if the government, the state, or the federal government is operating outside of the Constitution and in a sense operating illegally, then perhaps you're an insurgent if you want to return to the Bill of Rights and constitutional government, you see. You see how that would make you the insurgent. So it goes into all kind of things. This document is, it's at least 30 pages or something like that. Segregate detainees based on perceived status and positions of authority. Segregate leaders from the remainder of the population for their protection. Normally segregate minor and female detainees from adult males. Sounds like a concentration camp to me. You remember when Greg Evenson and I discussed this on air on several occasions? So let's say they come outside your house and they say, "This is Norcom, and we're here to help you. Everybody stay in the house, but we're here to go at individual houses. We will knock on your door, and then we will ask you to come out peacefully and get on to the trucks. You'll get on the trucks because we're so loving, we wish to give you a vaccination. So come on out now, house number 135679 on Cherry Tree Street. Come on out. If you don't come out, we're going to come in there and knock the door down and get you." They're going to resist. They're resisting. Pow, 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 pow. Oh, go after them. Take them down now. You see. Then you're a resistor, you see. Because you don't want to go because you have no trust of that government or that military that's outside, which they don't even look like they're in U.S. military uniforms. They look like maybe they're in a foreign uniform, you see. Hands across the water, a U.N. troop. And then you also know that you've been told that radio and such, that they're also going to, when they put you on the truck, they're going to take all of your food, all of your money. They're going to confiscate your home. They're going to then take you all your firearms and all of that. Any gold, any silver, all of that, that all belongs now to the military governor. Okay. And all of those 500 executive orders and presidential decision directives that George W. Bush invoked after 9/11. And they've been writing them up since Eisenhower and since Kennedy, and all that stuff been coming all down the line. And they get changed and consolidated in different numbers to confuse the people watching them periodically. But essentially, here's what they say. I want you to burn this in and to understand it. All of your food belongs to the military governor. All of your water belongs to the military governor. All firearms and ammunition belongs to the military governor. And if you've got them and you've already been told prior to that to turn them in, then you're probably going to go to death camp immediately. Okay? All of your vehicles belong to the military governor. Any gasoline, any oil, anything you got in your house, your bank accounts, your 401k, your IRAs, your stock accounts, your bond accounts, all belong to the military governor. And then you no longer have a job where you used to work, but you're now to be assigned, if you are going to work, as part of a work gang under the military governor. Okay? That's what martial law is, regardless of the reason why. The raison de jour, as they say. The raison d'etre, or the pretext. I like pretext, you see. It don't make any difference. So you'd better prepare. What are they telling you? You don't need an, the Surgeon General orders you not to get any masks because masks don't work for you. You peasant, they only work for the medical people and for the big shots where we need to be protected, you see. But they don't work for you because you don't know how to use them. Bravo Sierra, you can still get them anywhere. You better get some. If not, you better get a lot of bandanas and hankies. Or you can still get regular gas masks, military gas masks. Go to approvedgasmask.com. Get you something good like an M95 or a Scott, or they've got different kits for different levels. Remember, I've even told you about that before. For $200 or $199 or $259 or $300, you can get a suit, a mask, and a high quality full Seaburn or NBC filter, okay? With the booties, the headdress, the whole nine yards. And make sure that you can try and get it through there. And you're already starting to see in the London tubes, the London subway, people wearing the full-blown military gas mask. So this thing is not a lollygag. Now, I had some other things to say that I want to say right now. Number one is that don't forget your pet. If you love your dog, your cat, or your minor bird, or whatever you got, you'd better get some food stored away for them, too. Stacked up. You know, how many ever months you want. Because in China, apparently they're just taking their dogs out on the balcony and they're just throwing them over from, you know, 10, 12, 20 stories up because they can't stand it. Or they kill the dog in another way themselves. Or if they go out with it, then the red Chinese cops or military are shooting the dog or clubbing it to death and then putting it on a meat wagon. So how soon, you see, when it gets overwhelmed, just as Fauci has admitted that it will. How soon, you see, do you start to see the crematoria working overtime here? And I don't think Trump wants to do anything like this. And I'm not so sure he knows everything that they're even talking about. He thinks he can get people to make the vaccine and to make the therapeutics. And isn't it interesting that the Restenovir or whatever the drug that Fauci talks about, and they all talk about, is an AIDS or HIV drug, okay? That tells you that this thing, it's an antiviral, but it tells you that there's a component of this coronavirus, 19, novel coronavirus, 19, COVID-19, that is an HIV. That's the part like old Dr. Garth Nicholson told me years ago, and I don't give a crap if you don't want to hear about years ago because it's germane to what's going on right now. Dr. Gard Nicholson said that there was a component of HIV, genetic envelope, up to 40% in the Gulf War illness or syndrome. Some of you had it. Still might have it. It's the part that makes it easy to get. Now, if they get this thing ginned up to where it gets even further, then in some cases 42%, or if they it mutates by biting a bat's bottom again or something, or by biting your dog's, you know, cat's cousin's sister's minor bird, it's that spontaneous recombination, you see, that makes it then go after military-age people and young kids, too. Then you got a real pandemic, don't you? Everybody gonna die. But it seems like the medical population, they're getting ready to get it and are getting it big time. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to keep old Hawk in there and keep old Hawk in the game, and I hope you do. Anything is most needed, believe me, and most welcome. Because I've got to stick in the game and stick what I'm doing, and I'm going to tell you, I've not been wrong on this stuff from the beginning. I've been telling you about this for 16 years. To get you prepared. It's always been one of my scenarios. I said EMP, nuclear war, civil war that would be caused by something, and or plague, and or bioweapons. Anything is most welcome, believe me. Send it to Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. Don't go into their Luciferian night without a fight, ladies and gentlemen. Stand up for your family. Stand for Jesus, you know. Stand for your Bill of Rights. Don't go into their system where they've then got the man's got his hands on you. But buy food tonight, buy it tomorrow. Store water, Benzo silver, oil of oregano. Grand Angle Ridge, I know you're ready. And old mighty men and women of valor, use your high tech. Come in and ride the Luciferian from the sky above. And found their plan from their supply line. Keep this country free. Making a fool.